Thank you. It is a great day to be alive. I just want to say right from the start, I was getting to think in my head that I was getting too old. Next birthday, I'm 80. But I thought I'm getting too old. But it was a lie. The devil fed that. I tell you what, I have come back from this mission trip alive. I have come back to say, give me this mountain. Whoa, right now. And I can't wait to when I'm 82 and get a bigger mountain. So don't listen to lies. Thank you so much for your prayer and financial support for our visit overseas. That was outstanding. We felt the tangible presence of God in many situations. I mean, goodness me, the heat of Africa, the monsoon rain of Thailand, slipping and sliding in jandals and umbrellas. It's great fun. Great fun to be a missionary. But, you know, with your giving and with others of friends overseas, we received New Zealand $7,000 to give away as gifts. This was not for our personal expenses. That we had already arranged, had that attended to. But no, this was to give away, and we had many opportunities we could do that. We had 10 flights, 28 meetings, including a baptism and a wedding, which in the spur of the moment, they said, Wayne, you're on. So what we can share, what we're going to share today can be summed up, God showed up. And God showed off. Let all praise and glory be unto our God, Sally.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got a challenge because we've got 10 minutes. So anyway, we've chosen some photos to show you so we could start with the first one. Thank you, Margaret. This was in Kampala and our hosts were Kampala in Uganda, and our hosts were Monica and Emmanuel Wandati. And this is their church, and this was their Sunday morning meeting. And in this meeting, I really just felt to challenge them. It's all very well to start your Christian life, but how are you going to finish it? And I was using Paul as an example, that he'd fought the good fight, he'd finished the race, and he had kept the faith. So it was a very solemn moment, really. You could just sense the presence of God as we invited them to come forward to say, I'm going to finish, and I'm going to finish well. And so that was what was happening there. It was just beautiful. In the afternoon, we had a combined meeting of quite a number of churches, and that church, see how they build their churches in Uganda? Many of them look like that. But anyway, we had a combined meeting in the afternoon, and that was very touching because we discovered that Emmanuel, who we've known over many years, had been gathering pastors together, and every week he meets with them and he prays with them. And we didn't know he'd been doing that. And then they shared in that meeting, just the pastors did, just how much they respected Emmanuel. In fact, we felt quite teared up, didn't we? We didn't know that that's what he was doing. And so hence the combined meeting. And in the combined meeting, after lots and lots and lots of items, when you go to these places, you have to have lots and lots and lots of patience. You know, eventually we're allowed to get up and minister, and there was a really lovely outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and you'll notice in many places, you know, when you go to Pentecostal churches, and many of them, so yes, I'm filled with the Spirit, but they've never actually spoken in tongues. So in every place we went to, we gave the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move, and on that particular combined meeting, many of them came through and just corporately, because you can't lay hands on them all, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit and were speaking in tongues, and they really just encountered God. Hallelujah. So from Kampala, we moved on to Barara, overland, and here we are. This was the Women of Faith Conference. Wayne reckoned there's about 300 women there, plus pastors and men always show up. If you've been to Africa, you know, women's conference, anyone shows. But mostly they were village people, and they were just gorgeous. I thought afterwards, you should have shown you a clip of them dancing. You know, we think we're pretty free. If you've been to Africa, you know how they dance. Oh, dear. You know, I said if we actually joined in too long, we wouldn't have enough energy to preach. So Wayne is sharing on that meeting. I think it was really our virtual our first one, he was talking about the woman with the healing, you know, they had the issue of blood, and will you press in? And we began to pray for those who needed healing, just releasing the corporate anointing. Then I just felt really stirred. I said to Wayne, I'd like to pray for those who are having trouble with their sight. And some of you might know I've had trouble with my sight. So, but I felt stirred in my spirit. We were just going to pray. So I stood, you know, on the platform and I said, look, if you've got any trouble with your eyes, just put your hands over your eyes. I do not know what I prayed. It wasn't a great, big, long, complicated prayer because you're being interpreted all the time. And so we left that and began to pray for those who needed healing in their ears because he had experienced that, you see. And so while we had them, these ladies up the front now, they wanted hearing for their ears, I noticed this beautiful woman, she's older, her eyes were glowing and she kept on saying, both fingers, like this, because she couldn't talk my language and she was smiling. And I said, Wayne, I think there's a testimony. Yeah. So we asked her through the interpreter and she said, I can see, I can see. Yeah. And then it just sparked a whole row, you know, people just began to come up. And these ladies began to say they could see, they could hear beyond what they were doing before. And it was just, actually, Wayne and I were just overwhelmed because God just showed. And these beautiful women were seeing and hearing, and some of them got a double portion. They said, eyes and ears. And it all happened, really, in a fraction of time. I mean, it was just one of those wonderful things. So you just give God the praise and the glory because, yeah, it was a beautiful time. So, oh, yeah, Wayne's got a title in there now.
I am known that from one of these ladies that couldn't see before. She said, now I can see, and I see the white man with no hair.
Well, that's his title now. That will go down in history. Yeah. And what was very special, because that was the first meeting, we were there with them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on Friday, when they saw me, they were still pointing to their eyes with big grins. So you know, God does something. And there's a lot of testimony time. And I'm not sure what this lady was testifying to here, but there's another thing. Oh, we had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and corporately, most of them just came through in tongues, bang, didn't they? I have learnt a wee secret, I think. Leah and I have learnt this over the years. I don't know whether Leah's here anywhere. Yeah, here? Yeah, yeah. You know that in Acts chapter 2, it actually tells us that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, then they spoke in tongues. And so I never put the emphasis on the speaking in tongues. Let's get filled first. And so, you know, when they want all to be, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, we just say, well, let's start just to receive. Let's just drink of the Spirit. And you can see, actually, once you begin to speak like that, you can say, hmm, there he is, you know, oh, hmm. Yeah. You just see, he just comes and blankets them. And then you just see they're engaging. And then at some point, I just say, okay, on the count of three, we're all going to pray in tongues. And guess what? They do. Yeah. And it's just, you can hear the noise in the room and you can see, because you don't know, are they speaking in their own language or not? So you send the interpreter and a few people around just to check. No, they're speaking in tongues, Sally, you know. So once again, so you were part of this because you've been praying for us. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And another thing that happened in this particular conference, I felt really stirred how God values children. So I spoke to them about Matthew 18 and from Matthew 18 and Matthew 19, how God really values children. And I had such a burden on me, I thought, I don't think they are. And I really challenged them, what are you going to do differently? Because, you know, Jesus showed he valued them by taking time, by gathering them up in his arms, by blessing them. And I said, you do that with your words, how you're speaking to your children. And he prayed for them. And then as testimonies began to come, obviously God had hit the nail on the head. And the leader of the conference actually got up and said, we have neglected our children. But some of these testimonies, were, I'll never forget them. One lady got up and she said, I have four daughters and I've hated them because I wanted a boy. And I'm going home. This is all through the interpreter, how it came back to us in English. And I'm going home to ask them to forgive me. And I'm going home to love my children. That was so special. You know, if some of those homes, and I began to talk to them about, do you know we know how to lead your children to the Lord? That's a good question for all parents here. You know, if any of your children come up and say, I'd like to become a Christian, I want to follow Jesus, do you know actually how to lead them to the Lord? So I told them briefly how you lead them to the Lord, and then we prayed that they'd go home, and as God led them, that their children would come to know Jesus. So that was another very special time. So this was Barara in Uganda. And we gave out, actually the fact all those ladies came together because we sowed money from the gifts to sow, money from here, to bring the ladies together so there was transport and there was food. And so that's why they were able to come. And then we went overland and we went to Rwanda. And this was such a special time, wasn't it, Wayne? Reconnecting with these people that we've known for so many years. They're all faithfully those pastors that we'd met. Actually, we met them first in 2005 when Leah and I went. They're still faithfully serving Jesus. Getting a little older, but hey, they're still faithfully serving Jesus. And they had gathered the pastors and leaders from their churches together, from their villages, and they came together for this pastors and leaders conference. And once again, the gifts to sow, we sowed food and transport money so they could all come together. And they actually hadn't been together since pre-COVID, of course. So there was so much excitement as they gathered together. And once again, we saw the Holy Spirit move. People were healed. People were filled with the Holy Spirit. And there were great testimonies from pastors saying, I'm going home renewed. And one pastor said, my church will not be the same. So it was just... Oh, I could talk to you so much about Rwanda. Rwanda's a wee, you know, I think we all have nations that just, Rwanda's one of those for me. It's just beautiful. And then I've got to share the story of this beautiful woman here. You see, she was, they're all dancing. Honestly, they know how to dance. And she was worship leading, and she was just glowing. But the day before, we had prayed for her, because from the word of knowledge, I really sensed that someone was in the meeting who had lost a baby before the baby came to full term. And I said, if you'd really like to speak to me afterwards, you know, I'm available. This lady came, plus another lady, but I was so sure the word of knowledge, I prayed for them both, but this one, once again, working through an interpreter, counseling through an interpreter is a bit of a challenge, you know. But anyway, she told us this story, how that, if you know the history of Rwanda, they had a huge genocide back in 1994. How many of you know that? Well, it was to really kill or be killed. It was really sad, sad part of their history. This lady said she lost all her family and she lost her husband, but she was pregnant at the time. And she began to share what had happened because she was thanking God. She still had something of her family. She was carrying the child of her husband. But when she came to give birth, the child had died in her womb. And she had never told anyone. She said, I've never shared this with anyone before. Thank you for listening to me. And she just started to cry. So, you know, you do what you can do for God to minister to her and to heal the agony of her heart. And at the same token, she began to share about the husband she ended up marrying had been drunken, alcoholic, and was really abusing her. So she kept on hoping for change. But anyway, we ministered to her. And then on the very last meeting, she came and she was crying. And I thought, oh, is something else? Does she need some more ministry? But she just wanted to give us some gifts. So I said to her, well, what would, because she said, oh, would you pray for me? I said, what would you like me to do? You know, how would you like me to pray? She said, well, I hire, because she's into arts and crafts. And so she said, I hire a sewing machine. I'd love God to provide me with a sewing machine. And I thought, prayed. And then Wayne and I thought, let's talk to Pastor Deus. Let's buy her a sewing machine, because we had some money left from the gifts to sew for that nation. So we haven't got a picture, but we've since received a beautiful picture of her receiving a sewing machine. So you know, a treadle sewing machine, of course. That's what they use there. So that was our story of Anne-Marie. Beautiful testimony of God just touching a life. And now we move to Thailand. We've changed cultures totally. And Wayne's going to share.
And you can see from the footwear, or lack thereof, it's monsoon. And when I mean monsoon, it is pouring down. And it was different from Africa as chalk and cheese. And hot, steamy rain. And of course, you just slip out of your jandals as you come into the church or the house or wherever you are and carry on walking in your bare feet, even in the weddings. And it's so amazing, wasn't it, Sally? But Northwest Thailand, right up there above Chiang Mai, it was about over 1,000 kilometres northwest of Thailand, of Chiang Mai. And that's about 1,000 kilometres north of Bangkok. So you can see it's right up in that corner, right up in the Burma, because the Karen state and the Kareni and the Kachin were all independent states, part of Burma. And then following the war, these states were declared by the British, all Burma, and given to the Burmese to rule. Well, it doesn't work when you've got your own language, your own people, your own written language. And so they've been at war since that time. And we saw evidence of that where people are still on the war front and they need our prayers. But that was 31 years ago when I did the first medical ministry up into this area. And it was just wonderful to go with a team and to see what we could do for whoever we met. And 1,500 people were treated medically and were hands laid on them. That was my job. And to see God do move on their hearts, and 1,000 of them came to Christ. So we made succeeding visits back. Well, our interpreter in those days was a 14-year-old called Rosebell. And Rosebell, she's not in that photo, but she will be in the next one, but don't worry. And she was very special. She used to call me Daddy Wayne. And she said, "Daddy Wayne, my family are going to be repatriated out of this area of being refugees, but I have it in my heart to stay." Well, her five siblings and her parents all went up to Sweden. But she had it on her heart, "I have to serve my own people." And so one of the trips, I'm going through the jungle there, and I mean it's jungle, and she just pointed at the jungle and said, "I'm going to build an orphanage there, Daddy Wayne." And I said, "Really?" You know, well, since then she has built 10 orphanages. She has got 28 schools, and the displaced people there she ministers into, 5,000 of them. And they get containerfuls of special meals, which feeds these children, you know, for a whole day of nutrition. And how she does it, I don't know. But I said, "Well, how do you do it?" "Oh, Daddy Wayne," she says, "I do what you told me to do." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes, you told us to trust the Lord." So that was a good rebuke, wasn't it? Trust the Lord. And so, you know, from that point, she's doing this work. So we can have the next slide. Oh, no, no, go back. Sorry, back to the old slide. What we saw there was part of the gifts to sow with the children of this orphanage getting T-shirts and a special brand new T-shirts. And they were so excited before they could get into their rooms. They were taking off their school uniforms, putting on the new T-shirts, and very proud to receive something new, something special for them in their circumstances. And they were given a special meal with treats, whatever that meant in their culture and in their normal diet. It was something very special, probably had a little bit of chocolate in it. We ate it with them, but... yeah, but for us it was a good meal, but for them it was a delight. Isn't it amazing? And so that was that one. And then the next slide. This is a place called Wai Kai Pa, another hour's journey into goodness knows where. And that was one of the first villages I went to see Rosebell's work that she was doing to the Karen people. And it was there that she had a ministry to opium drug addicts, and we saw wonderful things happen there. Just with a shout of praise. A shout of praise is powerful. And I told them to give a shout of praise after I led them to the Lord, and they just went, We praise you, Lord. But it was in their dialect. And I said, no, not like that. And they leapt up in the air and shouted, praise the Lord. Like this. One man did it. And as he was coming down, it was almost like slow motion. You could see the smile come across his wrinkled face, his emaciated face. These people were still in the hold of opium. And when his feet hit the ground, he was completely healed. Now that's the power of our God. And that's the power of even praise to our God. And so when we're told to praise the Lord this morning, my heart was leaping. Yes, we've got a lot to praise the Lord for. And so that was so good. And so that area was so special to go back to, see the old hut that we slept in there, nothing like the homes that we were sleeping in this time, with tiled floors and electricity and Wi-Fi. Woohoo! In the middle of the jungle. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And then we went into this church building. Why, that had a lot of memories. And it had been revamped since then. It's got a floor on it instead of bamboo, all that sort of thing. But it was packed with the village. And they said, we want you to bring revival. Well, speak on revival, because we need revival in our land. And so it was great to, you know, I mean, these are subjects that are close to my heart. And then we heard from Ken and Margaret's prayer group, someone had a word of knowledge or a dream or something. Yeah. And we were told there was someone there with diabetes problem. And so we before we got too far into the meeting, I said, look, I told them, Sally and I are just two in the front of you. But behind us, there's a big group of people praying for you and for us. And one of them has got this word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit that you have diabetes and God wants to heal you. Well, to our surprise, Rosebell's husband, he's the guy in the middle there next to Sally in that front row there. He said, that's me. We weren't aware of it. It had been diagnosed with diabetes a year beforehand. And so he raced up to the front to be prayed for, was smiling all the way. And then Sally later on had another word of knowledge about somebody with gastric problems. The associate minister that was there, he said, that's me. So all the top leaders of the ministry, the men of the ministry there, were dealt with personally by the Holy Spirit. And that was so good, because it just opened up that meeting for the others to feel, well, if our leaders can come forward, so can I. And they did. And it was so wonderful to do that. So praying here in Christchurch and getting a word of knowledge, sending it across the airwaves, and we managed to get it on the Wi-Fi and said, right, we're going to use this. And there was the result of that. Isn't it wonderful? Wonderful. And then the last slide I have, it's this special girl called Sukiyan. That's the one in the white on the right-hand side in front of me there. I knew her as a 13-year-old girl many years ago. And in a Holy Ghost ministry meeting where the Lord said, release my anointing. And I thought, whoa, here we go. She was one of several, about 30 young people that were caught up in the Spirit. And they were dancing and they were spinning. And they got faster and faster and faster, and then all fell on the ground laughing and full of joy and full of the Holy Ghost. And then there would be quietness, and then they'd give a big shout. I found out the next day, Sukiyan told her adopted mother, Rosebell, what had happened that night. We could just see the outward shambles of people getting knocked off their feet and old ladies rolling around on the ground and cackling away there in laughter, and other these children just being caught in this whirlwind. It was just like a whirlwind. And I was told, we saw angels. And the angels spoke to us. Now I'm getting... Oh dear. And the angels told us, many of us, what our future was. And this girl, Suki Young, at 13, was told she was going to be a minister's wife and they were going to have a church. That previous slide was their church. Her and her husband are senior leaders of that church. She's got three children now. She's in her 40s, early 40s, and she loves the Lord. You see, what the Lord has promised, he will fulfill. And he uses the miraculous, he uses angelic hosts, which we're not aware of, mostly. Some of you are, but most of us aren't aware of that angelic realm. But it's real. It's so real. And so it's so powerful. And the other thing that I was so blessed by this trip, never underestimate the value of a short-term minister, a ministry trip. Okay? Thank you and God bless you all.
Right, let's all stand. There's lipstick on this. Not yours, Wayne. Sally said something really, you just dropped something the other day, though. It just really hit me about the food left over from the feeding, the miraculous feeding. I'll get you to minister on that at some point in the future, because I think there's something really profound in it. But I just want you to release the anointing that's on your life. There's something fresh. There's something just fresh with you both. And I just want, so if you just want Sally and Wayne to lay hands on you, get up here now. I don't care how many you've come. And you're gonna move quick though. You're gonna have to move quick though. Quick, we need some catchers. We need some catchers to come quickly. Need some helpers. Help catch. Other men, help catch.